Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using, I think, pretty much forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. We believe that's true, that the Lord is with us, that he meets us right here as we gather together to worship him. And he's even there with you, those of you joining us online, that God meets us right in the middle of all the stuff we've got going on in our lives. And man, I'm grateful for that. I don't know what your morning's been like. If you've been up for hours and everything's great and it's all good, or if like you just dragged out of bed and you barely made it here on time and, you know, five things have already gone wrong. I don't know. Some of us walk in having had a beautiful week and we're just full of thanks and praise to God for all of his many blessings. And some of us walk in here hurt, wounded, and needing healing, needing help, needing strength, needing wisdom so much. I'm so thankful that God meets us right in the middle of whatever's going on, so that as we come to him to worship him, he can touch every aspect of what's going on in our lives. Everything that we got going on, we just bring it to him. So let's bow our heads and talk to him as we begin. God, thank you. Thank you for inviting us into this time and place to worship you. We do pray that you'd make us aware of your presence. God, you have been at work in our lives, and you're at work today. And now, here we are, we're finally... finally kind of centering our hearts and thoughts on you. We're giving you our attention, our focus. And so as we carry all of this stuff with us that's been clinging to us all week long, these things that weigh on our hearts, these things buzzing through our minds right now, the things that make it difficult for us to focus on you, God, we bring all of it to you. And we pray that out of your grace and compassion, out of your abundance of your love, that you would touch every aspect of who we are, everything that we carry with us, God, that by the time we leave this place, by the time this service is over, we would know that the God who made us truly loves us and is at work in our lives, and that everything that we carry with us, God, the burdens seem less overwhelming because you are carrying them with us. The fears get replaced with your peace. The uncertainty, God, we receive your wisdom. The shame or the guilt that we walk in with today, God, by the time we leave, we want to see that washed away, replaced with your forgiveness and your grace and an assurance of your love. Thank you, God. Thank you for inviting us to this time. Use the songs, the prayers, the scripture, the table. Use all of it, God, to connect our hearts to yours, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand and sing as we begin? Let's do that.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes the way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he strong.
How's your week going? That strap falling off? Is it like kind of how mine is, you know, this week? But you ain't gonna win, devil. I dropped the pick. If the strap fell off, we're still gonna worship.
Yes, yes, we are.
All right, Courtney picked this one. You might know it, you might not. It's pretty catchy. We did it at the teen camp before. It's a good song, it's got a good message.
Why you ever chose me? It's always been a thing to me. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. Call me up and not quite. I'll never get it right. But it turns out that the ones you were looking for are all mine. I'm just nobody trying to tell everybody all about. Give my heart a song to sing, and for the world.
So some of you know I've been at camp all week, kind of running around. It's the men's camp, but just be in prayer for them. Last night they had 7 men give their life to Christ, and so we know they're going to be under attack once they get home and they go, you know, come back to real life and aren't getting served breakfast, lunch, and dinner and having every need met. So we're just gonna pray for those men that they continue on in their walk with God.
It's bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet. Here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you.
Amen. Let's continue in prayer, shall we? Lord, we are, we're here to say yes to you today. To whatever it is you ask of us, Lord, we truly, in our heart of hearts, want to say yes. Lord, I thank you for gathering us here this morning, for each person that's with us in this room and with us online who will gather with us later, Lord. I ask that we would hear your voice, that we would hear your instructions, we would hear your directions, that you would speak to us about what it is you would have us to do, who you would have us to be, where you would have us to go. And Lord, may we say yes to that. Even in those places, Lord, where they're hard. I was just reading this morning, Lord, where you've said that when we go through deep waters, you're going to be with us. When we walk through the fire, you're going to protect us. Lord, some of us are facing some deep waters, some unknown things that we've never faced before. And Lord, we don't know what we're doing. But we know that we can depend on you. We know that you're going to walk with us. We know that you're going to guide us and lead us as we listen to you. So speak to us today, we ask. I thank you for each of the blessings, even in the hard things, Lord. even in the yucky stuff of life, Lord, that we have looked at, maybe not in our own lives, our own families, but Lord, we can look around us and we can see some pretty discouraging things going on. But Lord, we know that we have the joy of the Lord that nothing can take away from us. And when we look at these things through your filter of joy, Lord, it changes our perspective. I pray that we would all have the filter of joy to see what's going on around us, to see each other through, Lord, and may we love each other well. I ask that you would be with Pastor Rich this morning for the word that you've given him. We know that it's a good word. We trust that because it's come from you, and he's listened to your heart for your people here at Living Hope. And so may we have hearts to hear and to take in and be obedient to whatever it is you have to say to us today. We trust that you're a good God and you have nothing but good for us, even in the midst of the hard stuff, the bad stuff. And so we thank you and we praise you this morning for all of your blessings. And we thank you and we praise you in the midst of the other things, the not so good parts. And we pray these things, giving you honor and glory and blessing this morning, Lord, as we pray them in your precious holy name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. Just a quick note to those of you joining us online, since we didn't get to shake your hand just now, drop us a note or something wherever you're watching, in the comments or something, so that we know you're with us. We are glad to have you join us, and we'd love to be able to be in touch with you. If there's some way that we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, whether you're here in the room or watching online, you can go to livinghope.info/connect and fill out a little thing there. Or if you're in the room, you can just grab a little green connect card in the back and fill it out and drop it in the offering box. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in the box as well, or you can give online. All of that works. The only announcement I've got up on the screen today is about Living Hope 101 coming up October 19th. If you have not been through that, or if it's been a long time and you've forgotten what we're about or something, then feel free. We'd love to have you join us for lunch that day. It's basically an introduction to the church, get you beyond just kind of what you hear about on Sundays, and gives you a chance to ask questions, to get to know a couple of other people from the church, because usually a little small to medium-sized group. And we each get to share a little bit of our own story, and you get to hear the church's story and what we believe. You get to ask questions, how are we different than churches you might have been involved with in the past, or the church down the street, that sort of thing. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that's great. And then there's stuff going on Wednesday nights, and there's the food truck should be back this Wednesday, is what I'm told, after getting some repairs done. Oh, I did want to mention a couple things that didn't make it onto the back there, but some of you saw taped to the front windows the Yom Kippur observance, Hope of Israel congregation that meets here on Friday nights. This week is Yom Kippur, and so they're doing a special thing Wednesday night and during the day Thursday. If you want to be a part of any of that, you can. I'm pretty sure you can show up. Just you're welcome to be a part of that, and you can get the details on that flyer that's on the window. I think it's this Thursday. Yeah, this Thursday is October 2nd, right? That Habitat's going to be hosting a resource fair here Thursday night, I think at 6 o'clock, bringing in a bunch of different organizations that help the kinds of folks that Habitat helps. So people that are in need of housing help or other kinds of help. So that might be worth showing up to as well. We're just hosting it. They're the ones putting it on and promoting it. But I thought you might want to know what's going on in your church building this week. And if you want to show up too, feel free. Other than encouraging you to, like Missy said, to be praying for the people who are involved with the great banquet this weekend, next weekend, I think that's all the announcements that I needed to make. So could we, yeah?
Don't forget about the free bike on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot. Thank you. This Saturday, October 4th, is the last bike giveaway of the season. We didn't get that in the bulletin. So if you know somebody who needs a bike, or if you have a bike to donate, this Saturday from 9 to noon, they'll be out there in the parking lot. And yeah, this year, that's the last one of this year. And then they'll be back in the spring and summer with other stuff.
The Walk for Recovery happening at 1 o'clock over at the park.
If you want to be, Missy now, I don't know how many of you guys know, Missy is her day job, this is her side gig, is doing this. One of her day jobs is as the community recovery care coordinator. And so if you hear her talking about things going on in the community, like connected with Recovery Connection or things like that, and today at 1 o'clock is a recovery walk across the street. If you want to be a part of that, I don't know. I think they're taking donations. It's a free event. So anyway. Oh, and if you're the first 20, you get a shirt. Okay. All right. Meeting up over at the... Yeah, but I mean, like, where over there? Do you know? Is it over by the...
Wherever the tables are.
Look for the tables that say Recovery Walk. Yeah, that's where it'll be. All right. By Butterfield Pavilion. Yeah. That's what, I couldn't think of the name of Butterfield Pavilion. So I was like, over there somewhere. So, all right. I would love it before we dive into this morning's message if we could just pause for a brief prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you for all the different ways that we get to be joining you in the work that you're doing in our community and in our world. And thank you that today we get to hear your Spirit speaking to us through the Scriptures. Open our hearts to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we get to talk about the part of our church's mission that is the most terrifying and the most rewarding, I think, anyway. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks, ever since our 25th birthday 2 weeks ago, about who we are as a church, that we're here to connect people with God, with each other, in a world that needs God's love. And we looked last week at this passage when Jesus was asked, what really matters to God? What does God care most about? What does he really want us to be about here on this planet? And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets. Everything God has communicated to his people, as he's trying to help them know, here's how you should live, it all hangs on these two things, these two commands. Love God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Today we're talking about that love your neighbor part of that. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the up part there, connecting with God. It's kind of the up direction, these connections that we have. We're going to live a full life, a three-dimensional life. There's the up, there's the in, there's the out. And connecting with God, we looked at the story from Luke 15, one of the classics about, you know, the father with the two lost sons, the father who went to his sons, both the younger one who wandered off and the older one who stayed home but was disconnected. God wants to connect with us, wants us to know him as our loving Heavenly Father. It's why he sent his son Jesus to live and die and rise again so that we could have a relationship with God. Last week, we looked at another classic from Luke chapter 5 about the people that carried their friend to Jesus on the mat. We're talking about how we need each other, how we need to be connected to each other. We need this in direction. We can't do this thing alone. If we think we can, almost every time we think we can do it alone, we end up stumbling, we end up falling, because life hits us hard sometimes. It knocks us back, and we need people who can pick us up and keep us going in those times. I just saw this morning, as I was walking the dog way too early, saw a group of runners about a block away from our house going down the street, and they were talking, encouraging each other. You know, every now and then you see a runner off by themselves, and man, that's just a lot harder, you know? When you're with a group, it's a whole lot easier to keep going, keep training, keep running, whatever it might be. We need each other. And today we're talking about the out direction, connecting with a world that needs God's love. And we're going to look at another classic story from Luke chapter 10. I was looking back to see, like, I feel like I've been talking about this a lot lately, and I look back and, well, sure enough, talking about this outward direction, this fact that we're on a mission and that God is at work in the world and we get to be a part of what he's doing. And I feel like we talk about that a lot here at this church, but it needs the extra emphasis. I heard a pastor years ago talking about evangelism, this idea of sharing our faith and reaching out, and he said, man, churches have to emphasize this more than maybe other things because our natural inclination is to be kind of self-centered, right? Because that can be a little scary for us to put ourselves out there, to reach out, to try to help, to try to serve, to maybe even to try to share our faith. Our natural inclination as people and as churches is to focus on those first two things, connecting with God. Yep, oh man, it's so good to have our sins forgiven. It's so good to sing to God and to celebrate his goodness and to turn to him when we need his help and to emphasize that relationship and to emphasize that we need each other and to meet together and to encourage each other. That's all good. But it's tough for us then to get out there and to pour ourselves out. Partly because we feel like we get used up already. We get poured out already. Just working, just living, just trying to push through life is difficult. And then to think, and I got to be like nice to people. I got to love people. I got to be kind. I got to be generous. I got to be helpful. I got to, okay. And it's so much easier for just to kind of fall back into our routines. And so we need to be reminded that this is part of what Jesus said, part of this full life that Jesus said he came to give us. It's all three dimensions. That we need all of this to be, for the body of Christ to be healthy. Just like our physical bodies, we have to have what are those? Rest and proper nutrition and exercise. Got to have all three of those, right? To be like fully healthy. If some of those probably come more easily to you than others, I'm guessing. They do for me, right? I love to rest. I don't mind rest one bit. Not that I have healthy sleep habits, but, you know, I like to rest. I enjoy exercising, although it can be pretty easy to sit on that couch. Good nutrition, that can be a challenge. I guess they're all three challenging. Hang on a minute. But our physical bodies need all three of those, right? Same thing spiritually. We got to have the up, the in, and the out. If we're going to be healthy, if we as a church, all three of these have to be going on. And I'm thankful to be pastor of this church where we get to, you guys do a good job of making sure all three are happening. This isn't one of those messages that says, come on, people, let's get to work. You're not doing it. This is a message just making sure that we as individual Christians and that we as a church remember this all needs to be going on. And I know we are all different. I was thinking about those things that our bodies need and that to be healthy and all that. We are all different. There are some things that come easier to us than others. I remember a book I read several years ago called Sacred Pathways. It was just talking about the different ways that we connect with God. And some of you, you connect with God most when you're together with other believers and you're singing and you're worshiping, and that's like a beautiful thing, and that's when you feel the deepest connection to the God who made you and loves you. Some of you, not at all. You're here, but it's like an act of discipline just to be around other people, because you connect with God most when you're just by yourself. And like all that other stuff is like noise and distraction, and if you want to connect with God, you got to like quiet everything down and maybe just have a Bible or just some music or something quiet, and it's just you and Jesus. And that's when you feel most connected. Some of you, it's being involved in nature. But some of you, in that book he talks about, some of you, you feel most connected to God when you're doing the out part, when you're connecting, when you're serving, when you're out there pouring yourself out, being a part of what God is doing in the world as he extends his grace to other people through you, as God's love for the world is demonstrated in your love for your neighbor. That is when you feel most connected. For some of you, not so much. We're all different, right? So if this out part is challenging for you or terrifying for you, maybe lean in a little bit today and see like, okay, but how is it rewarding? How is this something that I need to be a part of? We started with that the two commandments there from Matthew, in part because that's how we started last week, and I wanted just to remind us of that, loving God with all we are, loving our neighbor as ourselves. In Luke's gospel, In Luke chapter 10, it was actually a teacher of the law, an expert in the law, who approaches Jesus and is asking, what do I have to do to experience the life of the kingdom? And he says, well, what does the Bible say? What does the scripture say? And it's the expert in the law who says, well, it says, love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus basically says, yep, you got it. Do that and you'll live. And that's where we pick up the story there in verse 29. It says, but he, the expert in the law, wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? If I got to love God with all that I am, and if I've got to love my neighbor, who's my neighbor? Who do I love and who do I need to not worry about loving? Because they're outside the, you know, they're not my neighbor. You know, they're over there somewhere. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And at this point, maybe this expert in the law, maybe Jesus' Jewish fellow Jews, maybe they're thinking, oh, good, a priest, you know, whew, a pastor, he's gonna help. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, what are Levites? They're the people that wear the Levi's jeans, right? No. Now, Levites are, they're a particular tribe of the people of Israel who their job was to help at the temple. They were the people who were like church staff, I guess, you know, kind of. And so, oh good, a Levite. Well, the priest was busy, but the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, that's a twist. Samaritans are they're the bad guys in most of the stories. Samaritans are the enemies. They're the neighboring country to the people of Israel who they do not get along with. They've got a patchy, ugly history with each other, and Jews and Samaritans did not get along. In fact, most of the time, if you wanted to travel from the north part of Israel to the south part of Israel, Samaria kind of sticks out in the middle. You would do the long way, all the way around. You'd take extra days to travel just to avoid having to go through Samaria. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, which, like medicine, okay, of the day. I don't want you to think, like, well, that was a weird thing to do. That was normal, to care for someone. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, it's like a day's wage, so a decent amount of money, 2 days' worth of whatever you earn. He took those and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is that part of our mission of connecting with a world that needs God's love. The Samaritan came across someone who needed service, who needed love, who needed help. And I don't fault the other two for passing by. I mean, in the story, it's like, boo, hiss, you know, how could they? But in real life, you know, we pass by people with needs all the time, don't we? All the time we see somebody that needs some help with something, and we're like, ooh, not today. You know, oh, I got to get to where I'm going. I got to, you know, oh, I don't have time for this. Oh, man, they're coming back again. I've just spent an hour with them yesterday. They're going to suck up an hour of my day today. I can't, oh, no, don't have time. Or we think, oh, man, they're going to, I can't really help. They need more money. They need a donation. This organization, this need, you know, you get the thing in the mail or you get the ad online with there's this need. There's the people with this particular problem, whatever it might be. And you think, oh, man, that somebody needs to help with that, but I can't. And you scroll on past or you toss it in the recycle bin or whatever you do. We pass by needs all the time. And I don't fault them for it. The world is full of needs. And if we tried to say yes to every opportunity to serve, to meet every need, it wouldn't take us very long before we'd be completely depleted and have nothing left to share with anyone and no energy left for anything either. So I kind of don't fault them for passing by the guy, but man, if we're thinking, okay, so who's my neighbor? Who when I see them in need, who am I supposed to love? Jesus is telling us in this story. Actually, he asks the question differently at the end, doesn't he? He says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And he says, well, the man who had mercy, right? He says, who was a neighbor? And I almost feel like Jesus is going out of his way to challenge their view of the people around them, right? Because this expert in the law, he was looking to limit his love, right? He was looking to say, okay, I know I got to love like my fellow Jews, my fellow Israelites. I got to love them. But who can I say no to? Who do I not need to love? Who can I maintain either an apathy or an enmity toward? Who do I need to not have to worry about loving? Who is my neighbor? Because they broke up the world into there are neighbors and not neighbors. There are neighbors and there are enemies. There are neighbors and people I just don't care about. And I think Jesus was trying to say, no. The Samaritans aren't your enemy. They're your neighbors too. That whoever it is that you get most worked up about, angry at, you know, that when you see a friend share something negative about them on Facebook, you're like, oh yeah, I knew they were bad, and you share it right away without checking to see if it's true, you know, because you know they're on the wrong side of things. Those people that we're used to thinking of as enemies, Jesus is saying, no, wait, they're your neighbor too. We're all neighbors here. Now, sometimes this loving your neighbor, sometimes this reaching out to the world that needs God's love, sometimes it's big, it's organized, it's, you know, you build a whole homeless shelter, you know, or you start a whole food truck, you know, thing to help them, or you start a new church, you know, you do something something big that takes effort and organization and a budget and all this kind of stuff because there's a need and you know we got to kind of corral people and get people together to meet this need, and it's big. Other times it's not. You know, this story was not, the Samaritan didn't start a whole ministry, you know, I'm guessing on the side of his donkey wasn't a little, you know, sign saying like, I help people on the side of the road, you know. It wasn't like he'd started a ministry for this. It was just as he traveled. He came to where this man, he saw someone in need and took pity on him. He had compassion and he helped him. He might not have helped anybody else the rest of that whole week or month or, you know, but we know in this case, he saw someone in need, he felt compassion, and he helped. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes it's just a person that God puts in your path that needs a moment of encouragement. You know? Sometimes it's somebody he puts in your path where all they need is $5, and you got a lot more than $5 in your pocket, and it's no big deal for you to hand him $5. You know? Sometimes somebody just needs help opening their water bottle. You know? There's all sorts of things that come up that we can help with. They don't have to be huge. They don't need to have like 100 other people involved. It's just an opportunity to help. That made me think of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul is writing to this church and they're getting into squabbles about like who they follow, who their teacher is, or who they listen to. Some people saying, oh, I like Apollos, I follow him. And others like, oh no, Paul's the guy. And others, you know. And he says, like, what after all is Apollos? What's Paul? We're only servants through whom you came to believe. Yeah, we told you about Jesus. You came to faith because of us. That's great. He says, we're just servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God's been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants, the one who waters, have one purpose. They'll each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And he goes on. He's using all kinds of different metaphors to talk about how we've been serving you and how we've been working with you. And there's some other translations that where it says co-workers in God's service says we are God's co-workers, or God's fellow laborers. It's the idea that like God is at work and all of us are just partners in that work. We're just working alongside God, alongside each other. And sometimes all we're doing is planting a seed. Sometimes all we're doing, it's not going to consume our entire life. We're not having to change our career. We're not having to, you know, sometimes it's just, nope, there's a person that could use some encouragement that God's placed in my path. And you sense the Holy Spirit of God saying, this one's for you. Nudging you, saying, hey, notice this one. And so you listen to that little prompting. You follow that nudge. You say hello. You spend 5 minutes, 15 minutes. You plant a seed. It doesn't always have to be a huge thing. Sometimes it's just small. The point is, are we seeing ourselves as cooperating with God? Are we seeing ourselves as being a part of God's work in the world and looking for opportunities for God's grace to flow through us, looking for opportunities for God's love to be felt by someone else because they're being loved by us. I've mentioned it before, some story that I read in a book about a guy who was at the mall and felt like God was saying, you know, go up to that person and let them know I love them. Like, that's a weird thing to do, God. I'm at the mall. You know, why would I walk up to that stranger and say, hey, you know, God loves you? You know, it's kind of out of the blue. And so he kind of brushed it off, you know. And he said, but it was bugging him. He said, okay, God, if you really want me to tell that to the person, help me to see him again. You know, make me bump into him again. And next thing you know, they turn around and there they are. So like, okay. So they walk over and they say, hey, I know this is weird, but I just have this feeling like, I don't know, God wants me to tell you that he loves you. And the person starts bawling. And they're like, oh, man, what'd I do? I messed this up, you know. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know, what's... I said, no, you don't understand. And they'd been really depressed. They'd been feeling like God didn't love them, didn't care about them. And they said, you're the third person today that's walked up to me and said that same thing. And so maybe God does love me because he keeps sending people my way to let me know. You're just planting a little seed or you're watering something. You don't know the little thing that you're doing, the impact that it might have, because God is at work and we just get to be a part of what he's doing. But that means we have to pay attention to God. It means we have to, you know, nurture that relationship, you know, that connection, that connection with God, nurture that, spend time with God, listen for God, spend our days ready saying, okay, God, I want to be living this life on mission with you. I want to be open to you, nudging me, pointing something out, helping me to notice. I put there in your notes that this out, this connecting with a world that needs God's love, it's both spiritual and physical. Sometimes you're just meeting a physical need. Sometimes you're meeting a spiritual need that someone has. It's both evangelism and service. These both kind of fit under the same heading of like, this is ways that God's love flows through you to the world that needs God's love. Just like that story from last week where they brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. Jesus forgives his sins and heals his body, right? Jesus was always doing this. This is how Jesus lived in the world. He was meeting people's spiritual needs and physical needs. And so sometimes you're just meeting some physical need. You're giving that cup of cold water in Jesus' name. You're helping someone have food to eat. You're helping someone, you know, have shelter. You're helping someone have their physical need met. Sometimes you're telling them about Jesus. You're sharing your own story of how he's been at work in your life and the hope that you have because of him, and that they can have that same hope. A lot of times these two things are meshed together. They both happen together because people have needs that are both physical and spiritual. And I know that especially that evangelism part, that's a fancy church word for just sharing the good news about Jesus. That's the part that I know for many of us is just outright terrifying, right? It's like, oh, I can give somebody, you know, I can buy somebody lunch. I can even sit there and eat it with them. But that whole half an hour, are we going to talk about Jesus? I don't know. You know, that's scary. You know, for some reason, we get all freaked out talking about Jesus. We'll talk about our family. We'll talk about TV shows we're watching. We'll talk about the car that we drive and how much we like it or hate it or whatever. But the team that can't wait to see, you know, play football this afternoon or whatever, but to talk about Jesus, it just terrifies us. I think some of that is, I know Missy earlier mentioned like the devil trying to, you know, really get at people who are making significant steps in their relationship with Christ this weekend, the great banquet. Sometimes that's the devil, you know, that's trying to amp up the anxiety inside of us as we think about talking about Jesus. And we need to just ignore that or push through that. It doesn't mean you got to, you know, make things weird. You know, it doesn't mean you got to like shoehorn Jesus into every single conversation, but it just means that you got to be open to it. And there'll be times where it just fits so naturally. You're talking about, you know, whatever's going on. Maybe if you are meeting somebody's need and they're like, well, what's this for? It's pretty easy to just say, yeah, I felt like, you know, I needed to help you know that God loves you, you know. I wanted to communicate God's love to you, and this is just a simple way to do that. God loves me, and so I love you. Here you go. I feel like I'm not expressing this very well, which is a perfect time to read this passage from 1 Corinthians 2, where the Apostle Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I'm not being very eloquent right now. I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Kind of feel like Paul's saying, look, I stumbled over my words. You remember you were there? It was kind of a mess sometimes. He said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. He said, I didn't get fancy with it. I just told you about Jesus and that he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Oh, good. Oh, I've got fear and trembling. I'm in good company. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now, I know sometimes we read that, and we think, yes, sometimes God does these big, amazing, miraculous things, you know. God shows up in a miraculous way. It's like, wow, God is real. Tell me about him, you know, and then we get to tell him about Jesus. Acts chapter 3, that's kind of what happens when the Apostle Paul when Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and they pass the guy who's crippled and on the side of the begging, and they're like, I don't have money, but I can give you what I've got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he gets up, and he walks. He's healed. And a crowd forms because the lame man's walking and jumping around, praising God, causing the scene. And so they tell people about Jesus. It's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Most of the time, we don't have miracles happening around us and through us, though. And so that demonstration of the Spirit's power, and it might be that this is what Paul meant by that. It might have just been a demonstration of the Spirit's power at work in his own life. Or he shared his own testimony. Saying, oh man, I was this kind of a person. I struggled with this and with that, but God has changed my life. He set me free of this, or he's helping me to become better at that. This is God's power at work because I didn't have it in me. I couldn't help myself, but God has been helping me. And so people know, okay, I'm not being persuasive here. I'm just sharing my story of what God has done in my life. You remember Paul? It's in 2 Corinthians 12. I wrote it down because I'm not going to remember off the top of my head. I had to Google it, just like maybe you'd have to. But that's where he has that, talks about that thorn in his flesh, begging God to take it away, some kind of physical problem. And God says, no, my grace is enough. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, I'm not going to hide my weaknesses then. I'll talk about my weaknesses because that's where God's power is seen. If you're afraid to talk to others about Jesus, well, just talk about what Jesus has done for you. Talk about how he's changing your life. Because that's what God does. He takes ordinary, messed up people, and he changes us. He transforms us. He cleans us up. He gets us sober. He gets us turns us from angry people to, you know, patient, peaceful people. He takes stingy people and makes them generous. He takes selfish people and makes them others focused. In Ephesians 2, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. It's like he's saying, look, you were dead. We were dead. We didn't do this on our own. It's God's grace that has saved us. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. That's that bit right there. Our lives can be examples to others. Like, oh, you don't think God could love you? Let me tell you. Let me tell you what he did. He loved me, and I was, you know. We can share our stories. We can let God point to us as examples of the wealth of his grace and kindness. He continues, in case there's any confusion, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation's not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I feel like that's aimed at me there. I don't know. I feel like he's talking to kids who grew up in a Christian home, who came to Jesus early, who, you know, and here I am, I'm like a religious, I'm like the expert in the law, right? I'm the religious guy, you know, in the room. I'm paid to be a Christian. I think I'm the only one here that's like paid full time to be a Christian. Anyway, if people are going to think like, oh, it's a reward for the good things you've done, you know, like people like me that get tempted to think that. He said, no, that's not what this is. We can't brag about it. We haven't earned this. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The love that we share with others, the ways that we serve, the ways that we let God's love flow through us to the world around us. So that's not something we do so that we can turn around and say, okay, you happy now, God, right? I got some points. I'm balancing out the bad stuff I've done. No, he said, this is just flows out of a transformed life. Someone who's realized, oh man, I was dead. I was dead in my sins, but God, you have given me life. You have defeated my enemy. Sin, death, the devil, you defeated them all in Jesus, in his life, his death, his resurrection. And now I get to share in this life. Oh, thank you. Okay, you've been gracious to me. I'll be gracious to others. You've got good things planned for me to do? All right, let's do them. You're at work in the world, God? I want to be a part of that. It flows out of a life that's been changed by God. It's not something that we do to try to get credit with God. The last verse, John chapter 20, is near the end of John's gospel. This is the risen Christ Jesus, having defeated sin and death and the devil, saying to his disciples, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. If you're freaked out by all this, peace, okay? Peace. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus sends us into the world and goes with us into the world. He also said, well, I'll never leave you or abandon you, right? He's always with us. So that his grace can be experienced by the people that he's placed in our lives, in your life. There are people, neighbors in your neighborhood, people in your family, people in your school, in your workplace, that will experience God's grace and God's love through you. They might not ever meet me, might not ever show up at this church, but God's got you there so that his love can flow through you, so that his grace can be demonstrated in their life by you. He is sending us into these places because that's part of what a healthy human life looks like. It receives from God. And then lets that flow out through us. All right. I feel like right now is when I'm supposed to be praying. So I've got other thoughts in my head. I was like, okay, we're going to stop there. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the ways that you have loved us, embraced us as your kids. Thank you for the ways that you came to us when we were still a mess, God. You came to us by your Holy Spirit. You sent some of your kids our way to love us, to help us, to tell us about you. And now, God, you're inviting us to be a part of that same work as you send us into the world, as you bump us into people in need so that we can plant a little seed, so that we can share our story, so that we can perhaps get a chance to tell someone about you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this amazing love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Would you help us? Would you help us, God, to keep in step with your Holy Spirit, to listen to you for those moments as we make our way through our day, as we see those needs. God, like we acknowledged earlier, it can be overwhelming if we were to try to meet all of them. So God, please, would you guide us and direct us? Would you give us wisdom? Would you help us as we make our way through life that we can have a sense from you when this is a person that we need to pay attention to, when this is a need you want us to meet, and when it's a need that you want someone else to meet? Guide us, God. Give us wisdom. Help us to follow your Holy Spirit each and every day of our lives so that we can be a part of the work that you have created us to do. We are your masterpiece. You take the messes that we have made of our lives and you turn them into something beautiful. Thank you, God. Thank you that we get to be a part of this amazing work that you're doing. Examples of your grace, your kindness. We celebrate this amazing love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Together with Christians around the world, we offer to you today these simple gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. We remember, Jesus, that you took bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." You took the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Jesus, you said, "This seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. This is the agreement that you are conquering sin and death and the devil in Jesus Christ. And that as we come to you, as we say yes to you, you take our sin, you wash us clean, you share with us the life, the resurrection life that you've given to your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for holding nothing back out of love for us. You took our sin, you took our death, so that today we can experience forgiveness and freedom and new life. Today we come to you offering ourselves, acknowledging that we've not always loved you with all that we are. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. Way too often we've just walked by on the other side of the road, not because you told us to, but just because we're ignoring the needs and the people around us. Forgive us, God. There may be other things today that as we approach your table, your Holy Spirit is nudging us about. Sins we need to confess to you, things we need to turn from, that we need to leave behind, that you know these don't fit in this new life I've created you for. These are the kinds of things that destroy, that take life, that don't give life. Help us today, God, to confess those sins, to turn from them, to turn toward you, and to receive from you the grace and the forgiveness that you offer. Thank you that your word tells us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us experience that forgiveness, that cleansing today. Change us from the inside out by your Holy Spirit's work so that we can live in this world as a people. Oh, as a people who give to others the same love you've given us, who share with others the same grace you've shown us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The musicians are going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. Pastor Judy, would you help me serve today? We'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got the regular, pita bread, we've got the round gluten-free wafers, we've got the little cups. Some of you already picked them up in the basket on the way in. That's fine too. We want everyone to have a chance to celebrate today. Everyone who's saying yes to Jesus, everyone who's hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. So let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks.
If it's hard to believe, I have
goodbye is not the end.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, as you send us out to tell the world about you, as we've just been singing about, to demonstrate your grace at work in our lives. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. Guide us into those opportunities where we get to share in the joy of your work, of seeing people come alive to your love and to your grace. Thank you, God. You are so good. And we are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.